గర్వావహై తేజస్వినీతమస్తు మావిద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి.
John chapter 12, verses 16 to 20.
అనపేక్ష సుచిర్దక్ష ఉదాసీనో గతవ్యతః సర్వారంభ పరిత్యాగీ యో మద్భక్త సమే ప్రియః అనపేక్ష సుచిర్దక్ష ఉదాసీనో గతవ్యతః సర్వారంభ పరిత్యాగీ యో మద్భక్త సమే ప్రియః యో న హృష్యతి న ద్వేష్టి న శోచతి న కాంక్షతి శుభాశుభ పరిత్యాగీ భక్తిమాన్యః స మే ప్రియః యో న హృష్యతి న ద్వేష్టి న శోచతి న కాంక్షతి శుభాశుభ పరిత్యాగీ భక్తిమాన్యః స మే ప్రియః. సమశత్రౌ చ మిత్రే చ తథామానాపమానయోః శీతోష్ణసుఖదుఃఖేషు సమసంగవివర్జితః సమశత్రౌ చ మిత్రే చ తథామానాపమానయోః శీతోష్ణసుఖదుఃఖేషు సమసంగవివర్జితః. తుల్యనిందాస్తు నిర్మౌని సంతుష్టో యేన కేనచేత్ అనికేతస్తిరమతిః భక్తిమాన్ మే ప్రియో నరః. తుల్యనిందాస్తు నిర్మౌని సంతుష్టో యేన కేనచేత్ అనికేతస్తిరమతిః భక్తిమాన్ మే ప్రియో నరః. ఏతు ధర్మ్యామృతమిదం యథోక్తం పర్యుపాసతే శ్రద్ధదానామత్పరమా భక్తాస్తే దీవ మే ప్రియాః. ఏతు ధర్మ్యామృతమిదం యథోక్తం పర్యుపాసతే శ్రద్ధదానామత్పరమా భక్తాస్తే దీవ మే ప్రియాః.
Some of the qualities of a bhakta that is mentioned in verse number 16 we saw last in the previous chapter, previous class. Anapeksha, one who is free from wants. A bhakta understands that everything in life is given to us as per our deserving. So therefore there is no desire. The law is you get what you deserve, not what you desire. That is the law. And there is this karma phala dhata, who is called as Bhagavan, Ishwara, in so many words, the law, etc. Dharma provides you what is deserved by you through your actions. So as far as bhakta is concerned, he doesn't desire, he doesn't want it. And also from another side, bhakta clearly understands the futility of the worldly pursuit. So the objects and beings of the world, he is very clear, is not going to give me that I am looking for. So therefore, he is not wanting any of those things from internal. Wanting does not mean he will not contact. He will contact, but he is not having that craving or desiring or wanting. The sign of development, see, all of us are studying
going through sadhana from our own level, how do we know if we are progressing? We know that we are progressing to the extent we become mentally independent. In fact, in the Siddha Prajna portion, when Arjuna asked, who is the Siddha Prajna? Can you elaborate on a Siddha Prajna, a man of perfection? First thing that Sri Krishna says is, Prajahati Yada Kaman Sarvan Partha Mamogata. One who is absolutely free of desires, Kaman Sarvan Manogata. All desires mentally. Meaning mental independence. See, physically you have to transact. But mentally you have to be independent of all the material objects that you transact with in the world. To the extent you become mentally independent, to that extent you become evolved. They are not talking about physically don't transact. Physically you need to transact. But why should there be a mental dependence of it? So that's how we say, free from wants. And then shuchihi. Shuchihi means general purity at physical level, emotional level, intellectual level. Also what it needs is at the spiritual level is absolutely free of vasanas. That is the main suchi. Real suchi he is being free from vasanas. And then this is another interesting quality which is very often emphasized of a bhakta. Daksha. Daksha means dexterous. Skillful. So we gave this example last week. Whenever there is devotion, you become dexterous. When devotion is nothing but love. When your emotion is directed towards the higher, it's called devotion. When it is towards the lower, it's called love. Identification. So you identify with your children. You have love for your children. So when they fall sick, something is going wrong, they are not able to properly articulate. Now then you speak to doctors, you take them to doctors, you ask them what is wrong. Then you may Google, you may ask few people, you try to learn, you become more interested in it. So you apply yourself. So when there is devotion, you start applying yourself. When you apply yourself, you become an expert. Isn't it? That's why I gave you this example last week. When you produce a product, when there is identification with your customers, you put yourself in the customer's position, then obviously you will ask yourself, will I pay X amount of money for this product? What all would I expect if I'm paying so much money for it? So then, I would then focus and produce a product of that category. So I was giving this example of some companies producing the plugs and sockets. So you need somebody to be holding it. It's not properly fitting it. There are some companies, you just put it in, it stays. It's beautifully designed. Now, you become like that, expert. The moment you have that devotion, you would give your 100%, in fact 200%. You become an expert. So that's what he said. Daksha.
That is not attachment.
No. Attachment is when your mind itself is going.
No,
there are people who are attached to children. But there are people who are genuinely having love. What is attachment is mental attachment is something preferential. When there is something preferential, to that extent there is mental disturbance also. When there is to that extent mental disturbance, you cannot be a daksha. Isn't it? I can be a daksha only to the extent there is no mental disturbance. I am connected to Bhagavan. He will give the result. All I have to do is I have to focus and do what is in the interest of my children, interest of my company, interest of my students, etc. So there is love, but no preferential attachment, and there is also surrender to Bhagavan. So therefore you are free from the agitation in the case of a bhakta. But in the case of a non-bhakta, like you say, there are situations where you are attached. As a result of the attachment, you become more worried. Isn't it? Oh, this is the problem. Or that means these complications can happen. And I hope this doesn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen. You will say, anything happens, I'll accept. We don't know what our karma is. Isn't it? Do we? There is lots of karma, there is lot of actions that we have done in the past. We don't even know what all we have done. So what is the permutation of combination of it which is going to give us a karma? We have no idea. So accept with prasada buddhi. So daksha, a bhakta is not a, a lot of people think bhakta means one useless fellow. He will be a daksha. If he applies himself, he will be doing it neatly. Daksha, dexterous. And then, see, also dexterity comes when the cobwebs are removed. There's so much of cobwebs, so much of confusion, no clarity. Then, you know, your desires are pulling you on lots of different angles. So you don't know. You're not able to be applying yourself fully. And there is only one single pointed devotion. Clarity comes. And the clarity is there, you know, there is dexterous. Unnecessarily, there is no distracting agents. Then, Udasinaha. Udasinaha is another quality which is misunderstood. Udasinaha means unconcerned. Unconcerned, this is why I said, all these Vedantins, they will be very unconcerned, they are very detached, indifferent, that sort of a callousness is being portrayed for, on a bhakta. Whereas unconcerned means he is unconcerned about the results, why he is concerned with reference to action. What happened in the past is not concerned. He is only concerned to the extent he can learn from it. Otherwise what happened in the past is dead and gone. You don't hug on to your partner when the partner is dead, has died. The partner is dead. Are you going to keep the body and going on hugging? While the partner was alive, you would have hugged the partner. You know why? It's not that you do not have love. You know it's dead. So certain experiences of the past, they're dead. However, lovely experiences they are, they're dead. You got to move on. Are you with me? So, bhakta is udasina, unconcerned. Unconcerned, concerned. A concern, but unconcerned. That's what he says, udasina. It's not callousness. He is concerned with reference to action. Karmani eva adhikara. Mahapaleshu kadacha. So remember that. So udasina. Then he says, gatavyata, untroubled. See, a tree is very well rooted and it is not troubled by the powerful wind. You know, extremely powerful wind. The tree is going this side and that side, but the roots are beautifully grounded, powerfully grounded. And bhakta is clearly grounded. Whatever Bhagavan will do to me is only in my interest. You know that story, you know that king was all the time, the minister, the king had a minister who all the time used to say, that is also for your good, that is also for your good. And the king was so disturbed. This fellow, anything happens, he says, good for your good, for your good. So one day he had cut his finger by chance, the king. He said, that is also for your good. And the minister said that. He got upset. He put him in jail for 2-3 days. He said, you be in jail for a while. Then only you'll understand. And he went away for hunting. So there he was caught by the cannibals, cannibal tribes. And then he was going to be sacrificed for their goddess. But they had to sacrifice
somebody
perfect. But this fellow was hurt. He had a bandage. So they said, you go. So he came running to the minister. Now I understand what you said by anything is happening is for our good. Then he asked, but I have one doubt. I put you in jail, how is that good for you? He said, see, you have this habit of taking me along. I'm not hurt. They would have sacrificed me. See, the thing is, when the firmness is wrong, when the intellect which is understanding everything is happening as per law, as per causation, I don't know. See, when we do not know the cause and the effect is positive, we say luck. When we do not know the cause And then the effect is negative. We say accident or fate. There is nothing that happens without a cause. So we suffer not necessarily because we do not know the cause. We suffer because we do not know this law and accept this law. That is the thing. You can't know all the causes. And it's not necessary. Waste of time. There's so many things that happen. So therefore, anything happens is untroubled. Katamyata. Untroubled does not mean he doesn't have emotions. He's again he said, Dukkeshu Anudvignamana. In this is a Prajna portion in the second chapter. Perfect man. Dukkeshu Anudvignamana. He's not troubled by dukkha. He's not affected by sorrow. Sukeshu Vigatasprah. He's not excited when sukha things happen. Untroubled. In fact, to be untroubled by good things is very difficult. So he is untroubled. Gatavyataha. It is only possible if you are rooted in the Atma, in the higher things. That is why we say, see, the two things. One is, you strengthening your inner personality. So you are rooted. Other is, you have all the time association with Shastra, Guru, and Satsanga. So what happens? Even if certain things are troubling, you immediately clarify. And you read the Shastra, it clarifies you. Or you go to the Guru, he clarifies you or she clarifies you. Then you go to Satsanga, good company, well-meaning people, pure people. You talk to them. Then you get some confidence. Some strength comes. So you are not completely shaken. So it's always important, keep all those factors outside, but through them, continue the process of strengthening the incentives. So that even those factors which are dependent on, including the Guru. You need the Guru, but don't have to be dependent on the Guru. Over a period of time, you should become free even from them. Even Guru wants that only, ultimately. So, you will not be troubled, like I said, a snake which is around the neck of Parmashiva will not be troubled by Vainateya, Garuda. Because the snake is around Lord Shiva. Isn't it? Now once you have surrendered your baggage at the check-in counter, and you've got the boarding pass with the stickers, you are relaxed. All the more you are relaxed if your baggage is even insured. Isn't it? It can happen. It doesn't happen. There's a system. There's a beautiful system. So it doesn't happen that your baggage gets lost all the time. But it is possible. Sometimes some chaotic situation can happen that your baggage may get lost, is it, or damaged. But you are insured, so you are not troubled. Only when you have not done all those things, then you are troubled. This knowledge serves as mental insurance. So Bhakta is one who has checked in all his baggage at God's counter. So he accepts, there is no trouble. Then another beautiful quality, sarva arambha parityagi. Sarva arambha parityagi means he doesn't start anything. That's what it means. He doesn't start anything means it's not that he will not do any action. He will not have the feeling that he has started anything. There's so many, it's a chain, you know. So many things are connected. Well, if you ask me who started this class here, I can say I started this class. But then this parampara was started by so many sages. In fact, this kind of method of teaching on a weekly basis in different places, and then yearly basis one big lecture which we call as Gita Jnana Yajna,
All this is due to Swami Chidananda. You understand? A great, great visionary and visionary, Swami Chidananda. He started this. You know, in the fourth chapter, the 12 Yajna that Sri Krishna talks about. One of the Yajna he calls as Jnana Yajna. Sri Krishna. So what Swami Chidananda ji did? Gita Jnana Yajna. Because he wherever he went, he was only seeing people doing havan. Yajna means havan. Aaj hamara karna hai yajna. Havan, havan. But people are not getting into this philosophy. And mechanical rituals. It's not that we should not follow rituals, but it was turning very mechanical. It was all the more to fulfill the desires. You know, there are two things. One is called sadhya vastu, other one is called siddha vastu. Sadhya vastu means that which is yet to be attained. You do not have this, I have to attain that. Siddha vastu means that which you have already attained and you need to attain that again. What is that? Sadhya vastu means, let's say you do not have a vehicle. So I must get that vehicle. Siddha vastu means you already have it, but you do not know that you already have it. And therefore you are searching for it. Now sadhya vastu, which you do not have, how do you get it? Through action, through karma, through sadhana. Right? Siddha vastu, which is already there with you, but you do not know that you have got it. How do you get that? How do you attain that?
Through devotion and
through knowledge. You know, this glass now, right? Sometimes I keep it like this, with your spirit. Let's say I forgot. You know, these glasses also, some of them are so light. You don't feel it. Now you are searching for, I don't know where I kept it, I don't know where I kept it, I don't know where I kept it. So then, you come and say, what is this on the head? Then I get it. It's not that I've lost it. It's already there. I have to gain the knowledge. So the means to attain Siddha Vastu is knowledge. Isn't it? So what Samchinanda did was, for the Satya Vastu, various rituals are there. Yajna, how to attain those objects, etc. Obviously, Vedas prescribe those methods following Dharma. Only Dharmic desire, not the Adamic desires. For that, Yajna are going. But to attain the Siddha Vastu, because the moment you go to that Siddha Vastu, that you are already Atma, then there will be no need for any sadhya vastu. You will not feel a lack. Oh, I don't have this, so I am agitated. They have it. Everybody has it. I don't have it. So I must also have it. This problem will not be there. Once and for all it will be solved. When you know that you are Atma. You are already Atma, and when you realize that you are Atma, this issue will be solved. Are you with me? In other words, all problems will be solved permanently. For that there is one yajna, that is jnana yajna. But in the world, people are also extremely active. So rather than straight away giving them Upanishads, it is better to give them Gita, Bhagavad Gita. So what Swami Chidananda started? This tradition called as Gita Jnana Yajna. Those days, apparently he used to do 21 days of lectures. Now even 4 days people don't come. When you send them the invitation cards, some of them say, one day I will surely come, out of the 4 days. They are so preoccupied, we are not criticizing anything, they are so busy. So one day they will come. Probably that one day will become 4 days. So then, for the people who are more interested, who come to those lectures, out of 4 days they get inspired. Then when they want to come to the classes, he said, start weekly classes. You know, so this tradition was started by Swami Chidananda. So to say that I started this class is meaningless. So with this understanding that there is this going on, I am a part of it. So sarva aramba parityagi, a beautiful attitude. This, it's not that you don't start anything, you don't do anything. Or as a bhakta, and in the Bhagavad Gita, Shri Krishna says, sarva arambha paritryagi. So not doing. No.
That attitude, that bhava, that I am not starting. Mahatma has started.
This is going on for so many years. And even whatever I am starting, I could start only with the knowledge I gained from so many others. So with that humility. So sarva arambha paritryagi. So he says, he, my devotee, if you have these qualities, you are my devotee. Such a person is dear to me. Everybody is dear to Bhagavan, but he, these people are more dear because they have turned their face towards Bhagavan. Next verse.
Yona hrishyati na dveshti, yona hrishyati na dveshti, na shochati na kamshati, na shochati na kamshati, shubha shubha parityagi, shubha shubha parityagi, bhakti manyasya me priyaha,
bhakti manyasya me priyaha,
yona hrishyati na dveshti, na shochati na kamshati, shubha shubha parityagi, bhakti manyasya.
Yona hrishyati na dveshti na shochati na kamshati. He who neither hrishyati, rejoices, means overexcited. He who doesn't have overexcited. Nor hates dveshti. When things happen, you succeed, excitement. You feel complete rejection. It's a typical quality of a rajasic fellow who is having full of desire and dependence. When you function as an ambassador, you are not going to get excited. You clearly know it is the Bhagavan who is functioning to you. So where is the excitement? And when anything happens, it's the Bhagavan who absorbs that also. So there is the problem.
Yona hrishyati na dveshti, na shochati na kamshati.
Nor greed, nor desire. Remember, the entire Gita was started by Shri Krishna with this word, wise, do not grieve. Remember that? Ashochya anuvashochaswam prajna vadamcha vashase. See, when there is knowledge, there is no grief. Not half knowledge, full knowledge. If you have the knowledge that Atma is full, where is the grief? Where is the hatred? The grief comes when you do not know about your true self. You think you are lacking something. Then the grief comes. So that is why he said, asocha anvasocha. Why people do not grieve? Why do they not grieve? Because they know the nature of Atma. Atma is paripurna. So your grieving will stop only when you turn introvert. Your grieving will not stop till you have turned inward, till you have gained the knowledge of Atma. It's impossible. You can apply bhava. Temporarily you will feel better. But some other problem will come, again you will start grieving. So the grief will completely go only when you have attained the inner self. As far as Bhakta is concerned, he is turned, he knows the truth, how the whole thing functions. So where is the question of grief? So he says, na shochati, na kamshati, not as if desired, is paripurna, full. See, when you go to weddings, they serve you so many varieties of food. You become full. And when they say little more, what do you do? You say, Baba, nothing more. You don't want anything. You have no desire, no kamshati. Why? You are full. So that is what they have. Bhakta is full. How did he become full? By turning inward. What did he turn inward? Body, which is housing the senses. So he's turned the senses inward. He's turned the mind inward. He's turned the buddhi inward.
become a bhakta when you turn inward. Otherwise, you are not a bhakta. Otherwise, you are doing so many things. You are still greedy, still desiring. I told you, there are stages of bhakti. In the beginning stage, you are desiring. Isn't it? But there also, since that faith, that devotion is there, you say, even though I am desiring, I have put it in my God ears. And I am working. So, I am sure Bhagavan will give me. That confidence itself is not giving you that fear, greed, that disturbance, nothing in the mind. At least to that extent, you are relatively peaceful. Isn't it? When you pray, no, I've put it to Baba, it will become better. So to that extent, the grief is controlled. But that is in the beginning stage. As you move towards deeper levels of bhakti, there won't be even this. You are not seeing anything, but you understand this is a law. I am Atma. And Atma has got no wanting, no lacking. So what is there to desire? Desire, the moment lack comes, fullness comes. Desire comes. That is why we say prayer. Prayer will help you. How? What is prayer? Prayer is P-R-A-Y, not P-R-E-Y. P-R-A-Y is what? Gratitude. Isn't it? Expressing your attitude of gratitude. When you are grateful, when all your time you spend in expressing your gratefulness, you will not want anything. When you are grateful to your parents, you don't want anything from them. See, there are two things. One is out of ego, I will not take anything from my parents. It's wrong. Why should I take? You know, that is one thing. Other way, I am grateful to them. So much they have done. In fact, I have the obligation to give them if at all. I am not going to take from them. So the fact that you became full, focusing all the time on the fullness, you don't have any desire. So how do you get there? A bhakta practices this. You practice this. Be aware of everything that you have to be grateful for. And the fullness, when it starts filling you, you genuinely don't want anything. And when you genuinely don't want anything, things get attracted to you. This is the law. Things get attracted to a strong person, not to a weak person. Every time I meet you, I have a demand from you. Would you be interested in me? I don't want anything. Then you will like to be with that person. Isn't it? So, strength attracts. Weakness repels. This is what we need to understand. So a bhakta is a strong person. He doesn't grieve. He doesn't desire. So he says, na hrishyati, na dveshti, na shochati, na kankshati. See, these are all automatic and spontaneous in the person who is reached there. For us who are aspiring to reach there, we have to practice this. So I am giving you this gratefulness, exercise, etc. Then Shubha Ashubha Parityagi. Shubha Ashubha Parityagi. Completely renounced. He has become free from Shubha and Ashubha. So many things happen to us because of our prarabdha. Because of our prarabdha, Shubha also happened, Ashubha also happened. So I must be able to take them both gracefully. See, a matured person is one who is able to deal with these situations gracefully. No? Not like completely allowing those situations to take over. This is what happened to Arjuna. Which he recognizes and he says, Karpanya dosha upahata swabhava. My nature has been overpowered by the taint of pity. And he's kind. And Krishna says, what are you doing? You lose all your faith. name, position. Don't behave like this. This is like children like this. You know, nobody would, it's like suddenly when there is war going on, the general of the army is sitting and crying. You laugh. It doesn't befit you. You're supposed to be great in defeat as well as in your victory. Like you saw this beautifully demonstrated by Federer and Nadal. A brilliant match. 35 and 30. This one is 35, Nadal is 30. And they've come to the finals of Australian Open after injury. And unbelievable game they played. And then he's getting the cup. Federer says, unfortunately in the game of tennis there is no such thing as draw. If there was such a thing as draw, I would have accepted draw today, he says. And he says, he congratulated the team of Nadal. And he says, you've done a wonderful job to bring him back. And tennis world needs him. You know, you must be graceful, and to be graceful in your victory is even more difficult. Same thing, Nadal was very graceful. He said he's a champion, I've asked him. You know, this is maturity. See, that is their brand value. Isn't it? Cricket, there was an episode when one ball, New Zealand needed 6 runs. I think Trevor Chappell bowled an under. Because his brother, Greg Chappell was the captain, I think. He said, bowled an under. Greg Chappell says, because he bowled an under, they could not hit 6 and they won the match. And when he was going out from that ground inside to the pavilion, one girl, very young girl, small girl came and plucked his t-shirt and said, "You cheated. You cheated." You know, great cricketer, the chap was a great cricketer. But this episode, it's a big stain on it. Isn't it? So, this is what he says. He's saying in a different context, I'm just connecting it to explain to you. But there is a Shubha, Ashubha, victory, defeat, good things, bad things, people praising, you know. Next week we'll talk about century. It doesn't matter. You know, that's the idea. Bhakta is very sportive. See, remember I told you once, for a Bhakta, for a Jnani, the moment you gain this knowledge, first thing that happens is you become sportive in life. Because for you, this whole life is a sport. This is a maya, this is leela. Lalita. Lalita means leela. It's a game. It's a tamasha. That's going on. So here you just play, and then you play. Things happen. So that is why whenever they finish the game, go and, you know, shake hands and appreciate. Better luck next time. That is sportsmanship, no? Being sportive. So he says, Shubha, Ashubha, he is just sporting. See, that doesn't matter. Shubha happens, Ashubha happens. The idea is, so, Bhakti Manyasya Nepriya, he who is full of devotion, that person is dear to me. So if you have these qualities, to that extent you are a Bhakta. Sa Bhakti Manya, that person is Bhakti Manya. Today Bhakti has turned out to be so many things which has nothing to do with what we are saying. See, when I understand that the happenings around me is to polish me, is to strengthen me, then I'll take all difficult things into my stride. Isn't it? Otherwise I would want only good things to happen. In fact, a lot of difficult things shape you, strengthen you, provided you learn a lesson from them. So if you have this bar, then you learn. If you do not have this path of a bhakta, you never learn. You'll be constantly complaining. So that's the attitude he's talking about. Shubha, Shubha, Parivaragi. So, Bhakti Manyasya Mepriyaha. See, Tyagi means one who is risen above. He is risen above Shubha and Ashubha. That's what it means. Next.
Samashatrauja mitrecha tatamanapamanayoko shitoshna sukha dukkeshu samasanga vivarjitaha samashatrauja mitrecha tatamanapamanayoko shitoshna sukha dukkeshu samasanga vivarjitaha
sama shatrau cha mitra. I told you when we studied the first chapter, you should neither have the bhava of a mitra, mitru bhava, or shatru bhava. You should have sakshi bhava, witness bhava. So he's saying a bhakta is samaha in both shatru and mitra. Now, how did he start the 33 qualities in the 13th verse? What is the first quality he mentioned? We spent quite a bit of time.
No hatred.
Atvesha sarvabhuta. Then next, maitra means friendly. Now he is saying, he is equal to both shatru and mitru. What is he trying to say? There he said, friendly. Here he is saying, is equal to both shatru and mitru. What it means? As far as he is concerned, he is friendly. But there are fellows who will consider him to be shatru, a fellow who consider him to be mitra. Even Krishna is saying, Shishupala was there, his own cousin. And he was constantly hurling abuses at Sri Krishna. Isn't it? Sama shatru, shama, sama mitru. You may have people who can, in fact Jesus Christ was considered a shatru by, see, let me tell you, the moment you stand for truth, you might have to incur a lot of people's wrath. What can you do? You love them, but because of your principles, because of your convictions, because you stand on truth, it may happen that people may turn against you. They will. This is what most of them will do. Who are all holding on to the untruth? This is what they did to Jesus Christ. This is what they did to Socrates. Poison them. They killed Galileo. See, when you say, sun is revolving around the earth, then you are at the center ground because you live in earth. Everything is around you. So to satisfy the ego, the moment you are told you are at the periphery, Baba, sun is at the center, it doesn't satisfy your ego. So you will turn against. So bhakta stands for the truth. As a result of that, he may have shatrus also. But he is sama. He doesn't take any hatred. Externally what he has to do to deal with them, he deals with them. But internally, as far as he is concerned, he is completely soft, clean. Suchi, he already said that. Therefore, he is sama. Also, remember, always remember, whenever you hear this word sama, balance, samatvam and all that, always remember, balance will come when you are focused. When there is no focus, balance will not come. Isn't it? All direction your thoughts are going, you will not be balanced. This is the problem that is happening in the world today. Desires are not controlled. So the greed is pushing you from inside. I want to get that, I want this also, I want that also, I want to get to that. You focus. You lose that rickshaw. Huh?
You cannot balance yourself till you are focused at a particular point. You focus and then you will be able to stand. And your focus improves, if it improves, you will be able to keep your eyes closed. So he is able to be Sama with reference to both Shatru and Mitru because he is focused in Atma.
The same Atma in you, the same Atma in me.
So he is focused in the Atma, so he is balanced.
Must be some bad mood that day,
something, you know, so it doesn't matter. So he says Sama Shatru Chamitru. And Mamana Amar, see this is constantly going on, isn't it? Honoring, dishonoring. Honoring, dishonoring. People will honor you, people will dishonor you. How does it matter? It doesn't matter. Jesus Christ says, iniquity there shall be. Woe unto you if you be the cause of it. Honor and dishonor. You don't treat anybody in a, you know, unlawful way or you honor everybody. How will you honor everybody? You said they are all honorable because they are all Atma. See, in the world outside, you say he is honorable because of the position he holds. But as far as Bhakta is concerned, everybody is honorable. Even the most cruel person is honorable. Because he is Atma. He doesn't know. He is functioning like that because of that. Ignorant. Everybody is honorable. And he doesn't expect any honor from anybody. So dishonor also is okay, honor also is okay. Then sama dukha sukha, joy and sorrow. Joyful event happens, sorrowful things happen. Somebody very close to you leaves. It just leaves, it just brings certain feeling of sorrow. But you have that shock absorption capacity. You absorb it. You understand? It's for their good, they're moving. Let it happen. Then he says, Sama Sangha Vivarjita. He is entirely Sangha Vivarjita means entirely free from attachment. There is no attachment. He lives like a lotus in water. Lotus is born in water. Lives in water, dies in water. It has nothing to do with water. Sangha Vivarjita. See, when you are, say for example, when you are in this class, so be in it fully. This class is over, just leave. What makes you suffer is that Sangha. When you go and come, the Sangha should not be to that place. Enjoy, it's okay. When there is a situation, you talk about it, that's it. But when you have a Sangha, then Sangha will cause you Shoka. So he, as far as he is concerned, he is free. He is only near to Bhagavan. He has become one with Bhagavan, in the ultimate sense. So therefore he is Asangha with reference to everything. It's a beautiful quality of a bhakta. Asanga. Asangatva. Also, you are not dependent on Sangha. Sangha Vivarjita. See, it's not wrong to be in a company, but to be dependent on it is the problem. You understand? You can be in a company, Sangha, but why should you be dependent on it? Sangha Vivarjita. And you will not be dependent on it only to the extent you have strengthened your legs. See, I know what my worth is. If I know what my worth is, will your honor and dishonor affect me? there are very few people who move on and not bother about how the work is appreciated. Always, you know, they want appreciation. They want appreciation. And you know, let me tell you, it's not ego or anything. Like now this art show happened, I'm not that, I don't have that inclination, you know. But some people are having the inclination. Now, if I see anything, I won't know what it is. There are some people, they know, they appreciate it. So we are at a certain level. Supposing I come and see that painting and I did not say anything about it. Will you be affected by the universe? Like, this fellow doesn't know. He doesn't know. It doesn't matter. Now, if you know the worth of it. You know the worth of that painting. Isn't it? So when you are, what do you call it? You know the value of yourself. Why would anybody else's honor or dishonor affect you? You're not even waiting for them. And even some people when they come and they're brilliant painting, you actually know they don't know what to do. In fact, somewhere I heard this. A painting was appreciated by so many people, but the very painter, he said, no, this painting I will not sell because there's a mistake in this. But many people could not even find that. For them, even his painting with fault is okay. They don't know. So that's the level of bhakta is in. So where is he going to be, you know, affected? There's no way. So that's what he's saying here. Sangati Varsita. He's just going along with the company. Whatever company. He's happy with whatever company, but he's not dependent.
तुल्य निंदास्तुतेर मौनी तुल्य निंदास्तुतेर मौनी संतुष्टो येन केन चे संतुष्टो येन केन चे अनिकेतसिरमतिहि भक्तिमान मे प्रियो नरः
भक्तिमान मे प्रियो नरः
तुल्य निंदास्तुतेर मौनी संतुष्टो येन केन चे अनिकेतस्य रमतिः भक्तिमाते प्रियो नरः.
To whom censure and praise are equal, tulya ninda, stuti. Some people are constantly praising you, stuti, praising. And some people are constantly criticizing, censure. You know, there are certain people who are good in finding faults. Even in good things they will constantly find fault. They are the proofreader's mindset. Proofreader, you know, he is trained to find the fault. That is his job. So like that, they will constantly find fault in everything. So, to whom censure and praise are equal. How is it possible? When I have the attitude of learning from people, correcting myself, if somebody censures me, I will check what they are saying is true or not. If what they are saying is true, I will correct myself. If what they are saying is not true, it doesn't matter. They are making a mistake in assessing. See, they have this concave and convex lenses, no? They call them laughing mirrors. When you go stand in front of those mirrors, they show a ludicrous image of us. Long-cutted face, you know, short, hollow, etc., etc. So when you see all that, you laugh. You are laughing, everybody is laughing. That's why it's called a laughing mirror. Because it projects a ludicrous image of us. It's not true. So when you see somebody criticizing you, and what they are saying is not true, laugh it off. It's a ludicrous speech. For that, you should have this attitude of learning. Check with what they are saying. Genuinely you think about what they are saying is correct or not. If it's correct, you change it. Then you'll be grateful for that. Because it's extremely difficult many times to see your mistake.
somebody is criticizing you, they are showing something which you are not able to see, good for you. Isn't it? So that's what he's saying here. So a bhakta is absolutely balanced in both censure and praise. And is a mauni. Mauni, see this maunam is one of the most important tapas. Because you see, what we must understand is, to achieve anything in life you need energy. Isn't it? You cannot achieve anything without energy. So you must conserve energy. You must conserve energy. And one of the biggest thing is conserving the words and thoughts. And also maunam gives you the ability to watch your own thoughts. You are giving an opportunity to watch your own thoughts. See, when you become a bhakta, you become extremely conscious. There are people, you know, they see when there is no when there is an announcement, there will be very little water available. Immediately, you become extremely careful as to how you use that water. Isn't it? You know, wash your hands, not allowing the water to run and then wash. Because you become extremely conscious. So this practice of maunam makes you very alert. Mauni. And a bhakta is a mauni. He is absolutely silent because his mind is not in what? The best example for that is Swami Ramana Maharshi. So when you are practicing this sadhana, you will understand the value of it. You have conserved energy, otherwise you get involved in frivolous talk and all that and you are wasting your energy. In fact, you automatically become rich when you start conserving your energy. So the need to spend that energy to accumulate more becomes less. So what we are doing is, one side we are wasting our time in frivolous talks and spending energy. On the other side, we are again, whatever little energy left spending, that to collect all frivolous things. You understand? So our energy is getting completely dissipated. A bhakta is conscious of all this. So, mauni, completely silent. The sound comes from prakriti. Thoughts. Thought is a sound. Thought is a sound at a subtle level. It is not vocalized. It is a sound. So when he says mauni, even thoughts are not there. That is the most important quality. He simply remains a sakshi. Mauni means sakshi. When you more and more you watch thoughts, you will have less and less thoughts. And then, santushta ena kena chit. Content with everything. Content with anything. See, this inner contentment is to be understood correctly. It's not mixed contentment. Like you see, mostly the pig is very contented being in slush, dirt. You are not talking about that sort of contentment. Because it is understood like unclean. You know.
Why is pig understood as that and not a goat?
Please understood as?
Dirty. It is slush and not a lotus that is in dirt. Why is lotus not considered?
Because lotus plant holds the water in dirt, it just falls off.
Maybe the dirt doesn't stick to the lotus and it sticks to the pig.
Lotus is born there. I don't know. Lotus is born there. Pig seeks it, it goes there. Pig is not born there. Pig seeks and goes, no?
Yes, lotus is all over water. Jordan in the dirt is so beautiful. The pig is not beautiful in the dirt.
That's how I'm thinking, no?
No, I agree.
No,
I mean, dirt is covering the pig. Dirt is not covering the lotus.
The lotus leaves is made in such a way that you know
that it repels the water.
It just falls off. That's why it's considered so.
Symbolically we consider it as God for the quality. But when I take pig's contentment,
The foundation is dirt, and still it remains.
See, one side we say a bhakta is ruchihi, bhakta is expert, and then the other side is contented. So you got to, understand this correctly. What he is trying to say is not that he is lazy and tamasic and whatever is that, okay, no problem. I have to do this, and it's okay. You know, it's not like that. He's contented. You can. See, what is happening in the world is, you are trying to find contentment in something that you will achieve in future. So you are never content. A bhakta is contented with what he has and continues acting, not because of discontentment. That is the problem. That is the difference. He accepts, but he is not going to not put effort to change it when it has to be changed. So they have to, he'll accept everything. Oh, what is this? Nonsense. This is why the kind of acceptance that's going on in India, we don't stand up. Now slowly things are changing, but still not that much. He's not talking about that kind of contentment or, It's incredible what we are doing with our nation. You know, when you go to some other country, you see, first thing you see the lake. When they say lake, you wonder, what is this? It's like ocean and they are calling it as lake. And when you come to our country, sometimes when they say lake, there is no lake there. They made it into streets. Houses are being constructed there. And some places, when they call it lake, it's like a small pond. So what are we doing? It is so and so dirty. I mean, put up with it. This is not what he's talking about. You're not allowing your present contentment to be tied to future achievement. That is wrong. See, in the West, they don't accept. That is why they work. In fact, they say you have to be discontented to be productive. There is another way of being productive, that is what Vedanta talks about, which is through contentment. And that is contentment which is coupled with complete fullness. And when you are completely full, action flows out. Where there is no desire restricting, acting as handbrake acting in a car. In a car moving, when a car is moving and the handbrake is on, compared to that, a car moving with no handbrakes on, which will be more productive, less damaging. What they are talking about in the West is car moving with handbrakes on. What is happening in India is car is stationary, not moving only. So it's getting rusted. But what Vedant scriptures are talking about, car moving with no handbrakes on. You got to understand the difference. So it says, to whom censure and praise are equal, silent, content with anything. And then comes the beautiful quality of a bhakta, aniketaha. Aniketaha means homeless. Homeless means what? The entire universe is his home. Aniketa is the name of Lord Shiva. He resides, the whole universe is homeless, it's non-possessiveness. And all that, I do not have a home. I'm homeless. I studied today Bhagavad Gita, so I took it in my house, sleeping on the road. He is saying homelessness is non-possessiveness, it is Bhagavan's property. I have been given to stay there as a caretaker, as a trustee. A trustee is supposed to take care of it, but not mine. That is the attitude, homeless. Aniketa. And then sthiramatihi. Steady conviction. Mind is so steady because of less passion inside. Passion means relax. And steadily in truth. Wisdom is completely established. One more verse. Last one. Ye tu dharmyamritamidam. Ye tu dharmyamritamidam. Yatoktam pariupasate. Yatoktam pariupasate. Shraddhadhanamatparama. Shraddhadhanamatparama. Bhaktaste tiva me priyaha. Bhaktaste tiva me priyaha. Ye tu dharmyamritamidam. Yatoktam pariupasate. Shraddhadhanamatparama. Bhaktaste tiva me priyaha. They indeed who follow this immortal dharma as declared. He's saying, those who follow this law, this dharma, all this dharma that I spoke, these are immortal. Yeah. You can die, but these laws continue. They are immortal. And how do they follow? With the Shraddha. Shraddha dhana. Matparama. Regarding me as supreme, those devotees are exceedingly dear to me. See, this faith, Shraddha, is loosely always translated as faith, but what it means is a complete personality application with that faith. Then it is faith, then it is Shraddha. Adi Shankara defines it as words in the faith of the scripture and guru. You apply it fully. So he says, with the Shraddha you apply in the dharmas. A person who is given himself at the body, mind, intellect level to this dharma. Everything he lives dharmically. That person. Faith based on the conviction of the higher and application, consistent application. All this put together is Shraddha. And then it is Matparama. Matparama, we have heard this three times. Me as supreme. Matparama. Attainment of Bhagavan, attainment of Atma is the goal of my life. It's very clear. And I am not interested in any other goal. All these are temporary things, but it is to get back to the self. A human being alone has the capacity to reach the self, has the capacity to reach the higher potential. So the goal of life is to get to that higher potential. But all these things that are happening around us have the capacity, if you lend them that capacity, to pull you down. Unnecessarily they get involved. They forget the goal, meander. There will be people who will try to pull you down, not to achieve your higher potential. No? See, this is the kind of politics that goes around in the world. The so-called developed countries, they do not want you to develop as much as possible. They want you to be dependent. The politics goes on. I'm not saying it's correct or wrong, but like that, you know, there are people trying to do this, that, and you will get involved. You must always say, my mind is very clear, Mat Parama. To me, nothing else is supreme, only that is supreme. Attaining the, that is my goal. That single-pointed devotion, I am a human being, I have to reach that higher potential. So, he, my devotee, that person, such a person God will treat, and all is regarding the Supreme, those devotees are exceedingly dear to me. So in other words, he said, apply yourself consistently in these 35 qualities to become a complete bhakta who is totally dissolved in Paramatma and has become Paramatma himself. So next week when we meet, we will do the summary of this chapter. Om Tat Sat. इति श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता उपनिषत्सु ब्रह्म विद्यायां योगशास्त्रे श्री कृष्णार्जुन संवादे भक्ति योगो नाम द्वादशो अध्यायः। ओम तत्सत्। ओम दैट इज रियल, दैट सुप्रीम रियलिटी व्हिच इज डिजाइनेटेड एज ओम इज द रियलिटी, आई नीड टू अटेन दैट। सो व्हाट इज स्पोकन इन द उपनिषद, which is also the Bhagavad Gita, the science of eternal versus ephemeral is what is discussed in the Gita. It helps you to unite with the Atma, the scripture of yoga. The dialogue, it's in the form of dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna, the Guru and Sishya, ends with the 12th chapter entitled Bhakti Yoga. So we tell ourselves that we have not completed the chapter, we have only Shravana is over, no? There is Manana still left, Nidhidharana still left. So therefore, with the humility, we follow this tradition of chanting verse number 1 together. Arjuna uvacha, Arjuna uvacha, evam satata yuktaye, evam satata yuktaye, bhakta swam pariyupasate, bhakta swam pariyupasate, echaapyaksharam avyaktam, echaapyaksharam avyaktam, tesham ke yoga vittamaha, tesham ke yoga vittamaha, Arjuna uvacha, एवं सतत युक्ताये भक्ता स्वाम पर्युपासते एचाप्यक्षरम अव्यक्तम तेषां के योग वित्तमाः। ओम ओम पूर्णमद पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णं गच्छते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम कायेन वाचा कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैवा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृतेस्वभावात् करोमि अद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।
Thank you.